Chapter 105. Remarking that he had been instructed to watch the girl home, and plead his young friend's cause, and not saying how far he had followed her, or from what point. But Newman hinted that from what had fallen from the confidant, he had been led to suspect that the young lady led a very miserable and unhappy life, under the strict control of her only parent, who was of a violent and brutal temper, a circumstance which he thought might in some degree account both for her having sought the protection and friendship of the brothers, and her suffering herself to be prevailed upon to grant the promised interview. The last he held to be a very logical deduction from the premises, inasmuch as it was but natural to suppose that a young lady, whose present condition was so unenviable, would be more than commonly desirous to change it. It appeared, on further questioning, for it was only by a very long and arduous process that all this could be got out of Newman Knox, that Newman, in explanation of his shabby appearance, had represented himself as being, for certain wise and indispensable purposes connected with that intrigue, in disguise, and, being questioned how he had come to exceed his commission so far as to procure an interview, he responded that the lady appearing willing to grant it, he considered himself bound, both in duty and gallantry, to avail himself of such a golden means of enabling Nicholas to prosecute his addresses. After these and all possible questions had been asked and answered 20 times over, they parted, undertaking to meet on the following night at 10:30, for the purpose of fulfilling the appointment, which was for 11 o'clock. Things come about very strangely. ' thought Nicholas, as he walked home. I never contemplated anything of this kind, never dreamt of the possibility of it. To know something of the life of one in whom I felt such interest, to see her in the street, to pass the house in which she lived, to meet her sometimes in her walks, to hope that a day might come when I might be in a condition to tell her of my love, this was the utmost extent of my thoughts. Now, however, but I should be a fool, indeed, to repine at my own good fortune. Still, Nicholas was dissatisfied, and there was more in the dissatisfaction than mere revulsion of feeling. He was angry with the young lady for being so easily won, because, reasoned Nicholas, it is not as if she knew it was I, but it might have been anybody, which was certainly not pleasant. The next moment, he was angry with himself for entertaining such thoughts, arguing that nothing but goodness could dwell in such a temple, and that the behavior of the brothers sufficiently showed the estimation in which they held her. The fact is, she's a mystery altogether, said Nicholas. This was not more satisfactory than his previous course of reflection, and only drove him out upon a new sea of speculation and conjecture, where he tossed and tumbled, in great discomfort of mind, until the clock struck 10, and the hour of meeting drew nigh. Nicholas had dressed himself with great care, and even Newman Knox had trimmed himself up a little, his coat presenting the phenomenon of 2 consecutive buttons, and the supplementary pins being inserted at tolerably regular intervals. He wore his hat too, in the newest taste, with a pocket handkerchief in the crown, and a twisted end of it straggling out behind after the fashion of a pigtail, though he could scarcely lay claim to the ingenuity of inventing this latter decoration, inasmuch as he was utterly unconscious of it. Being in a nervous and excited condition which rendered him quite insensible to everything but the great object of the expedition, they traversed the streets in profound silence, and after walking at a round pace for some distance, arrived in one, of a gloomy appearance and very little frequented, near the Edgware Road. ' said Newman. ' replied Nicholas, looking about him. Good street? ' said Newman. Yes, returned Nicholas. Rather dull. Newman made no answer to this remark, but, halting abruptly, planted Nicholas with his back to Samaria railings, and gave him to understand that he was to wait there, without moving hand or foot, until it was satisfactorily ascertained that the coast was clear. This done, Knox limped away with great alacrity, looking over his shoulder every instant, to make quite certain that Nicholas was obeying his directions, and, ascending the steps of a house some half dozen doors off, was lost to view. After a short delay, he reappeared, and limping back again, halted midway, and beckoned Nicholas to follow him. "Well?" said Nicholas, advancing towards him on tiptoe. "All right," replied Newman, in high glee. "All ready, nobody at home. Couldn't be better. Ha! Ha!" With this fortifying assurance, he stole past a street door, on which Nicholas caught a glimpse of a brass plate, with Bobster, in very large letters, and, stopping at the area gate, which was open, signed to his young friend to descend. "What the devil?" cried Nicholas, drawing back. "Are we to sneak into the kitchen, as if we came after the forks?" "Hush!" replied Newman. "Old Bobster, ferocious Turk. He'd kill them all, box the young lady's ears he does often." "What?" cried Nicholas, in high wrath. "Do you mean to tell me that any man would dare to box the ears of such a apostrophe?" He had no time to sing the praises of his mistress just then, for Newman gave him a gentle push which had nearly precipitated him to the bottom of the area steps. Thinking it best to take the hint in good part, Nicholas descended, without further remonstrance, but with a countenance bespeaking anything rather than the hope and rapture of a passionate lover. Newman followed. He would have followed head first, but for the timely assistance of Nicholas, and, taking his hand, led him through a stone passage, profoundly dark, into a back kitchen or cellar, of the blackest and most pitchy obscurity, where they stopped. "Well," said Nicholas, in a discontented whisper, "this is not all, I suppose, is it?" "No, rejoined Knox. "They'll be here directly. It's all right. I am glad to hear it," said Nicholas. "I shouldn't have thought it, I confess." They exchanged no further words, and there Nicholas stood, listening to the loud breathing of Newman Knox, and imagining that his nose seemed to glow like a red-hot coal, even in the midst of the darkness which enshrouded them. Suddenly the sound of cautious footsteps attracted his ear, and directly afterwards a female voice inquired if the gentleman was there. "Yes," replied Nicholas, turning towards the corner from which the voice proceeded. "Who is that?" "Only me, sir," replied the voice. "Now if you please, ma'am." A gleam of light shone into the place, and presently the servant girl appeared, bearing a light, and followed by her young mistress, who seemed to be overwhelmed by modesty and confusion. At sight of the young lady, Nicholas started and changed color. His heart beat violently, and he stood rooted to the spot. At that instant, and almost simultaneously with her arrival and that of the candle, there was heard a loud and furious knocking at the street door, which caused Newman Knox to jump up, with great agility, from a beer barrel on which he had been seated astride, and to exclaim abruptly, and with a face of ashy paleness, "Bobster, by the Lord!" The young lady shrieked, the attendant wrung her hands, Nicholas gazed from one to the other in apparent stupefaction, and Newman hurried to and fro, thrusting his hands into all his pockets successively, and drawing out the linings of every one in the excess of his irresolution. It was but a moment, but the confusion crowded into that one moment, no imagination can exaggerate. "Leave the house, for heaven's sake. We have done wrong, we deserve it all," cried the young lady. "Leave the house, or I am ruined and undone forever. Apostrophe, will you hear me say but one word? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas. Only one. I will not detain you. Will you hear me say one word, in explanation of this mischance? Apostrophe, apostrophe, but Nicholas might as well have spoken to the wind, for the young lady, with distracted looks, hurried up the stairs. He would have followed her, but Newman, twisting his hand in his coat collar, dragged him towards the passage by which they had entered. Let me go, Newman, in the devil's name! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Nicholas. I must speak to her. I will. I will not leave this house without. Apostrophe, reputation, character, violence, consider, apostrophe, said Newman, clinging round him with both arms, and hurrying him away. Let them open the door. We'll go, as we came, directly it's shut. Come. This way. Here. Apostrophe, overpowered by the remonstrances of Newman, and the tears and prayers of the girl, and the tremendous knocking above, which had never ceased, Nicholas allowed himself to be hurried off, and, precisely as Mr. Bobster made his entrance by the street door, he and Knox made their exit by the area gate. They hurried away, through several streets, without stopping or speaking. At last, they halted and confronted each other with blank and rueful faces. Never mind, apostrophe, said Newman, gasping for breath. Don't be cast down. It's all right. More fortunate next time. It couldn't be helped. I did my part. Apostrophe, excellently, apostrophe, replied Nicholas, taking his hand. Excellently, and like the true and zealous friend you are. Only mind, I am not disappointed, Newman, and feel just as much indebted to you, only it was the wrong lady. Apostrophe, eh? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Newman Knox. Taken in by the servant? Apostrophe, Newman, Newman, apostrophe, said Nicholas, laying his hand upon his shoulder. It was the wrong servant too. Apostrophe, Newman's under jaw dropped, and he gazed at Nicholas, with his sound eye fixed fast and motionless in his head. Don't take it to heart, apostrophe, said Nicholas. It's of no consequence. You see, I don't care about it. You followed the wrong person, that's all. Apostrophe, that was all. Whether Newman Knox had looked round the pump, in a slanting direction, so long that his sight became impaired, or whether, finding that there was time to spare, he had recruited himself with a few drops of something stronger than the pump could yield by whatsoever means it had come to pass, this was his mistake. And Nicholas went home to brood upon it, and to meditate upon the charms of the unknown young lady, now as far beyond his reach as ever. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.